I'm an act named PJ.
Hey, PJ.
I really wasn't supposed to speak this weekend. This was sprung on me a couple hours ago. When I thanked Chuck for asking one of my sponsees to speak on youth and recovery. And then he told me that the topic was recovery is an inside job. And I'm thinking to myself, well, my higher power really has a sense of humor. Because I came up here this weekend pretty jammed up inside. I'm mad at a few people. And I kind of was not nice because my feelings got hurt. And I did it intentionally. And like right before Jimbo speak, Jimbo's from my area, and right before he spoke, one of the people that I'm mad at, I said to him, I said, well, you know, let me give you a hug so I can get over this. See, because that's what recovery is about. It's not about what other people do, it's about what I do. And when I do wrong, I know it and I feel it. You know, like my heart gets real heavy. Now my head tells me something else. My head tells me to hang on to it. But my heart tells me, you know, PJ, it's not about the way other people act, it's about the way you act. And I'm mad because I hold people accountable in my life today. And they said they were going, you know, we were going to do this thing and we were going to do it together every year, and they backed out and they decided to camp with somebody else. And, you know, I'm a human being and I have feelings today. And one of the things that I said to one of my friends is, you know what? I don't allow my friends to tramp on me anymore today. I'm clean. I have a choice. And just because you're in Narcotics Anonymous doesn't mean that I have to let you be okay with pulling bullshit on me. You know, I don't know if that's right or wrong. You know, I'm not always right. But I know when I'm wrong, I can admit it. And I was not nice when I got here. You know, they tried to hug me, and I just kind of like ignored them. You know, it's like I do one of these things that I used to do, like whenever I got high. It would be like this. I used to do this. I'll show you. I'll hurt me. And that's what I was doing. You know, I was trying to show somebody else, and then in the process, I got hurt. I'm a sensitive person. And one thing that I know most addicts are, we are very sensitive people. I was told this is not only a disease of addiction, but it's also a dis-ease of feelings. And when my feelings are at dis-ease, I'm at dis-ease. So I guess I'm supposed to speak on this topic. One thing that I know also about this is I have a friend, you know, who's got some clean time, and this is what she said to me. She says, you know what, PJ, outward appearance is not inward reality. Because I'm one of the people that sometimes I can walk into a meeting and I can say everything's all fine and dandy, and on the inside I'm hurting really, really bad. As a matter of fact, I'll say I'm hurting like a motherfucker, but I won't let you know. Because that's what this disease wants me to do. Doesn't want you, whenever I share my true feelings, I become vulnerable. Like I told these people, I said, you hurt my feelings. You know, I would never said that before. You hurt my feelings. Before what I have done in my life, whenever I was using and stuff like that, you did something to me, I cut you out of my life in an instant like that. It was that simple. And I can't do that today. You know, because I need people in my life. So we're going to talk about, you know, this. We're going to talk about this being an inside job. I don't have to dress up the outside anymore. I can tell you that right now. I don't have to wear a Sassoon and Jordache like I did whenever I was like 21 years old and wear the best drug car cologne, you know, to make you all like I was. I would do that stuff, but see, like, I couldn't afford it, so I'd have a boyfriend to, like, buy that shit for me, you know? And And this is the thing. I when I was using, I would, go to parties in, Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh and stuff. And I lived in a little roach motel in Katanning, Pennsylvania. And I would tell them, I can't wait to, invite you to my pool parties and stuff. You know, I would lie like that. And my insides would just turn. Because I knew that I was lying. And then I knew I was perpetrating a fraud. I perpetrated a fraud till I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And see, I can't perpetrate that fraud no more. That's why, I'm jammed up because, I got these feelings that are going on. And I ain't got nothing to cover them up. I have nothing to cover them up. And I have character defects, and sometimes they come out. I'm on my eighth step, Now I'm going to have to put people that I harmed on my eighth step, including me. Because I harm myself. As a matter of fact, I can probably do more damage to myself than anybody else can. If I allow myself to do what my thinking tells me to do. And I did that. That's what I did when I got here. I allowed my thinking process to take over what I was really feeling. I was telling myself I'm mad. That's not it. That's not the true feeling. The true feeling is PJ is hurt. And he doesn't know how to display himself whenever he's hurt. He wants to act out and hurt too. If I'm hurting, you best believe I want somebody else hurting right along with me. It's a wee thing. That's how this disease will justify things to me in my head. I shared about this in a meeting before I come up here because I didn't want to act like this. But I did. And I'll correct it. To the best of my ability. That's all I can do is, clean up my side of the street. All I can do. And the person said, I still love you. And my head still wanted to say, no, you don't. No, you don't. That's what my head wanted to say. And in my heart, I'm like, geez. And I just got over being, really sick. I had a cold for, a whole week. So, my spirit is not here. I come to these things, and what I call them is I come here for my spiritual fix. That's what it is. I come to spiritual retreats for my spiritual fix. And I know that, I'm going to cry a lot this weekend. I already feel it. You know what I mean? Because my feelings are here, and this this topic is this is an inside job, and it's going on in here. It's not going on up here. It's going on in here. I got that tightness going on. I got that where I'm peeing a lot because I'm nervous, and that's what happens to me whenever I got feelings. I identify what goes on with me. I'll try and say I'm peeing a lot because I'm diabetic, but that's really not what the fuck's going on. I got some feelings going on inside of me, and I need to deal with them, and I need to face them, and do it in an appropriate manner, not like I was. This is what I know from working some steps. That the second step gave me hope. That's the thing they did for me. It gave me some hope. I remember when my first sponsor said to me, PJ, it's time to start working some steps. I said, okay, but I'm not going to do 2, 3, and 11 because I don't believe in anything. And I had somebody say something to me that kind of just took all that resentment and stuff away. He said to me, open to the very first page of your basic text, PJ. And I said, okay, and I did that. And he said, what's there? And I said, absolutely nothing. And he said, that's right. That's where you need to start, with a higher power, with absolutely nothing, and build your own. That gave me such a sense of freedom, such a peace inside of me that I didn't have to adapt to anybody else's. And I come, like I can come here and I can listen to other people talk about that stuff today and be okay. Because I wasn't before. You know, if you mentioned the word God, I would get, like, tight and I would, like, you know, there isn't one. And I was defiant. I had no honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness when it comes to that. So whenever he told me that about the second step, I think I got the first true meaning of that recovery is an inside job. You know, and that my higher power is definitely inside of me. And my life today normally is very peaceful. I created my own insanity a couple weeks ago, and it caused the ball to start rolling. I can't blame nobody else anymore for my actions and what I do. It's what I used to do. Now, I got to own my stuff today, no matter what it is. I got to own it. And whenever I own it and I work a step on it, Or I move on and I identify what it is and I run it by somebody else. You know, like I had a couple people say to me, you know, PJ, maybe you shouldn't act that way. You know, and I went ahead and did it anyway. So I create my own turmoil and you know, once I take an inventory on it and then I come to the solution, that's what I really need to do. I need to get to the solution so that my insides will be okay again. That's what I need to do. And that's what these steps do. My very first retreat I went to was like Tri-State. And I'll tell you, I'm not a camper. I ain't never been a camper. And it was raining. And I was bitching. And I was moaning. And I was like, I didn't want to do this in the first place. And we were trying to put up a tent. And it was raining. And my sponsor said, you know, why don't you just shut up and enjoy the cleansing that you're getting from a higher power? It's amazing that whenever I listen to what somebody else says to me, it's the solution that I need at the time. I don't know, like I said, I really didn't want to talk, but I don't say no. I don't say no to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I said, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to get up and talk about how I'm jammed up. Yeah, you know what? Because we get that way here. Life shows up sometimes with us. And right now, life has showed up for me. My thinking sometimes doesn't match what's right here. You know, this and this don't match. And most of the time, I listen to this, my head. You know, this is my major, major skid row. It's right here between my ears. Just like whenever I was using, if I had a thought that I had to use, I automatically went with it. I thought I had to do what my thoughts told me to do. You know, today, I don't always necessarily act like I did this weekend. Sometimes, you know, I'm really good at letting things go, saying, you know, people be people, acceptance, da-da-da-da-da. But I don't know, like I said, I said the ball of emotion inside of me a couple weeks ago. I did something that I ain't done in a really long time. Also, you know, I just want to let you know my clean date is May 2nd of 04. That's a blessing in itself. That is a true blessing in itself. I don't know. I was just talking about this. That's why my friends that I was mad at that just came. That's how this program works. You know? That's how it works. You know, my insides right now, you know, it's like, not like I'm really sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I'm an ass. Doesn't matter what you do. Because I heard somebody say one time that I no longer want to hurt me. I thought, wow, that'd be really nice to be able to learn how to do that. To not hurt myself anymore. You know. On a good note, I know I'm going to get spiritually fixed. You know. That's the main thing why I'm here this weekend. I'm here to get my insides cleansed out, you know, because they need it. And I can't come up here and tell you that I'm like really good inside and things are wonderful, you know, and stuff like that when they're not. I can't perpetrate that fraud no more. I just can't do it. You know, that's what these steps have done for me. It's taught me how to be honest with where I'm really at. You know, and the thing about it is that I know this. I'm not alone. You know, I see people's head shaking, and I see them going, yeah. You know, I don't like to come up here and been just as funny as Jimbo and stuff like that, you know, and tell you some jokes and shit like that, but you know what? That's not where I'm at. That's not where I'm at. And I believe that, you know, I share honestly, and I share where I'm at. I was taught that. You know what? Share about it. Share about it some more. When people tell me, PJ, I'm sick of sharing about it, share about it some more, and then share about it until I'm sick of sharing about it, and then I get to the solution. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes. That I got to get tired of myself before I get into the solution. And it's always in a step. You know, that's what the steps do. The steps cleanses my insides. And I told him, I said, they're going to hear the fucked up queer version first, you know, and then you can take over and give the clean one. You know, he said, no, I'll be right there with you. That right there in itself tells me I'm not alone. You know, you identify with me. Because, you know, I don't like to be alone anymore. I don't like that loneliness feeling of thinking I'm the only one. You know, Narcotics Anonymous threw that ringer in me because I came around the 12-step programs 23 years ago when I was 21 years old, and I looked for a loophole, and Narcotics Anonymous took that away from me because it says, we don't care about your sexual identity. You see, I tried to be different. I tried with everything inside of me to find a glitch in this program, and you know what? There's not one. There's not one. There's no loopholes. I tried to be different. I tried to be unique. And, yeah, I will tell you a joke. How do you catch a unique rabbit? You sneak up on him. And how do you catch a tame rabbit? The tame way. And, I think I'm done. That's my clue.
Thanks for sharing, PJ. You know, I was just thinking, all these stands should be filled, this whole amphitheater should be filled, because this is where it's at, man. It's an inside job, and that's the bottom line. My next speaker, he's probably sitting there waiting to see what I say about him. I'll just be real honest. I used to sponsor this guy, and then we just parted, and I was 4 days in prison. He worked down there, and I was kicking a dope habit. And he told me to hang in there. He said he'd be back 2 weeks to see me. And you know what? That's what kept me going. Because I knew in 2 weeks that, like, somebody was coming to see me. And at that time in my life, nobody wanted to see me. You know, with that, I give you Mike Yell.
All right, Mike.
Mike, I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike.
Glad to be here. Thanks for sharing, PJ. Thanks, Jeff. I love you. And, you know, I was listening to PJ talk about the steps being the solution. And, you know, Jeff walked me through the steps the first time I went through the steps. And, you know, just to get some stuff out of the way, you know, I wasn't no gangster out there. I wasn't robbing drug dealers. I wasn't no killer. I wasn't none of that stuff. I was a petty thief, low-budget junkie, and I was dying in between bags. And you know, I have to say that because when I first came out here, I put on so many fronts of who I was and where I came from. The bottom line was I was raised with morals and values, and, you know, they weren't good enough for me, and I always felt like I had to come outside of myself to feel okay. I'm not no dynamic speaker either, man. I don't, you know, I'm not no professional speaker. I don't come, you know, I probably won't have the whole place laughing or nothing like that, but this program's done something for me. And that's what I'm up here to share, what God in this program has done for me. I don't know if anybody could see, but that's my little boy laying there sleeping, you know, on the bench. And that's what this program's done for me. Like I told you, I died in between bags because I could not stand. See, before I started getting high, I couldn't stand who I was. You know, and then a dope showed up, and I really couldn't stand that guy a whole lot more. And I could remember getting moments of clarity. And me and Michelle were talking earlier about the hit houses and the abandoned buildings and the mattresses. And I don't know if anybody could relate to the mattresses. But I can remember sitting in there on them, man, and getting moments of clarity like, what the hell am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Going to jail and wondering, what the hell am I doing here? Because that's not who I was. I mean, internally, that's not the way that I was built. You know, I come from a family that taught me right from wrong. My father goes to work every day. My mother went to work every night. And you know, I had a shot in life. The last charge that I got, I robbed an 85-year-old lady. And you know, there was something inside of me that was saying, Mike, don't do this. Don't do it. Like the work of working on my insides was taking place long before I got clean. There was something inside of there. See, I believe that there was something out there, man. Because I used to get them, you know, like it was like crawling out of my skin telling me, you don't have to do this. And, you know, there's a better way for you to live your life. And, you know, I was shooting dope for 2 months and I didn't want to be that guy no more. Third tradition says that the only requirement to want to stop using is a desire. So, you know, don't be the guy that comes in here and says, you know, some people are here for the wrong reason. Because long before I got clean, man, I wanted to stop. Every single bone in my body wanted to stop. I don't believe that there's one person out there right now using that doesn't have that desire. Because I know where it takes me. Not even just out here, because I can handle that stuff out here. I mean, you know, the jail thing, not that I like it and not that I'm this career. I did a couple bits in the county jail. You know what I mean? So it's not that I'm, you know, I've done all this time before, but I can do it. You know, that's not what drove me in here. It's the way that I felt inside, man, that drove me in here. There was something inside of me that I just could not stand being that guy no more. And, you know, I came out here the way that I usually come to a place. I come out here through the court system, through a treatment facility. And I wasn't nowhere near as physically beat as I was in the past. You know, I did, you know, stay in the county jail. I got out. I got high for 2 weeks, and I wanted to get clean. Kind of. A little bit more than I wanted to the other times. So the physical part wasn't that bad, man. Externally, man, I had a run in me left. Externally, I could have hung out there for a minute. Because I know how to adapt to that type of stuff. I get one of them. I was listening to PJ share, and you know what I get is the I don't care attitude. It's one extreme to the next. I'll get into the mindset where I don't give a shit about nothing. And all bets are off. And, you know, I wasn't too far away from that this last time. You know, many times out there that suicide was a wonderful option. I always joke around, but I don't even think I'm joking because I think that God has a plan for me, right? And I always say that if I go back out and start shooting dope again, I'm not going to be the guy that ODs. I'm going to be stuck out there, miserable, suffering day in and day out, one bag to the next, over and over again, and I'm not going to get no relief. Because when I start getting high, I mean, death looks appealing to me when I'm getting high. And you know what? I've been around here for a little while through the grace of God and NA, and sometimes I really forget about, you know, what it felt like when I first came in here. In the first step, going back and talking about what my real powerlessness is. When I'm stealing from my mother and I don't want to. What type of feeling that is. When I'm looking at my mother through a thing of glass. You know, and what Jeff was saying, I would leave that place, and it was helping me too, because I've been there and I'm capable of going back there. You know, one bad decision, and I'm capable of being on the other end of that glass, wearing a jumpsuit. And you know what? In the first step, the addiction piece, because when I first got here, I thought that the reason why I felt like such shit was because I shot dope. You know what? And after being here for a while, it's definitely something that's wrong with me. Because I put the dope down, and the next thing I went to was women, and then I was running through women like it was... Man, there's some people in my support group that were here that seen the insanity that I was going through. And then I put the women aside, and I found a woman, and I got married, and now gambling came off, and I'm not talking about lottery tickets. I'm in the social work profession, right? I don't make a whole lot of money. And I have put my family in so many situations through my gambling that it's unbelievable. I'm talking about sitting there, and I got into this online gambling, and my wife is sitting on the bed with tears coming down her face, holding her head, the same way my mother used to do when I was shooting dope, wondering why the hell I can't stop doing what I'm doing. And every part of me on the inside wants to stop, and there's that little drive inside of me that says, no, you can't stop. This is going to make you feel better. And it never does. So what my pattern is that when I start to not feel right, I'm reaching for something to make me feel better. Still, and you know, it's a miracle that I haven't put no dope in my arm. Because when we talk about this being an inside job, I have ripped my insides a new asshole since I've been clean. And the only thing that's got me through is some hope that I got from the steps that says in here that, you know, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. Some days the only thing I hold on to is the hope that things are going to get better. See, I believe that now. I have evidence in my life because when I got here, you know what I mean, I didn't think things were going to get better. I thought this was going to be another stay in a halfway house. I'd meet a girl out here, which I did. I'll move in with her, which I did eventually. I'll drive her car, which I did eventually. None of it fixed my insides. And I'll go back and I'll start shooting dope again. And you know, I'm going to say that God had a different plan for me, because that wasn't my plan. This wasn't in the blueprint when I first got here. So if you're here right now and you're thinking that you might not want to stay here, and you're thinking that this might not be for you, and you still got to... Who the fuck don't got reservations with 30 days clean? Are you kidding me? I had every reservation in the book. And if you got them right now, just stick around and don't go nowhere. Because you'll be surprised what this program will do for you. And you know, sometimes, man... I get them moments of serenity that the 11th step talks about, forming that conscious contact, you know, where I'll be driving in my car and tears will start coming down my face because I'm so happy to be alive. I'll tell you what, man, you know, I shared some of the wrong directions that I went down in this process and some of the way that it made me feel, but on the hope piece, you know, I'm not the guy that walked in the door 7 years ago. I'm not that same guy. Things have happened in my life that, look, man, if you drop your wallet, I'm giving it back. And, you know, every part of me wants to stick to that. You know, there was a time in my life where being slimy, and the book talks about wearing, being an addict and wearing it as a badge. There was a time in my life where that was attractive to me. I'm telling you the truth right now. If you drop your wallet, I'm giving it back to you. And I was listening to PJ because I'm not going to feel good about that. I really don't. You know what? Really, it's not because of what'll be your situation. I'll get over that. It's about what's happened between me and God since I've been here. And I don't want to sacrifice that. You know what? And I've had a little bit of separation from the online gambling. And I've been doing okay. I'm not going to say that I've been doing good. Because like I said, man, this thing creeps up on me. I don't know if anyone in here has ever been sucker punched before. But that's how this disease gets me. Because I start, you know, when I start telling myself that you're doing good, this little thing comes in the back of my head. It says, okay, time to reward yourself, man. So no, I'm not doing good in my recovery. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I start taking credit for shit, man. And you know, that's how every time that I've, you know, went astray from this program and picked up other things to make me feel good, it all came from, you're doing good right now. I deal okay with catastrophes and drama and stuff like that. I'm okay with that. Big situations happen in my life, and, you know, I'm all right. It's when things are going good and small things happen and frustration and, you know, that's when I'm dangerous. And I'm not dangerous to nobody but myself. Talking about making amends, man, if you did to me what I did to myself in my life, man, I have beat the shit out of myself. And you know why? Because I'm not all right with me. You know, I remember doing my six-step, my four-step, my six-step with Jeff, and going through, and pattern after pattern was, you know, low self-esteem and not feeling good enough and not feeling like I measure up. It's my whole life. And here's a shot of hope for the newcomer. You know what? Today, and I'm speaking for today, when I looked in the mirror today, I didn't mind the guy that was looking back at me. And it had nothing to do with the way the outside looked. Nothing. You know, because there was a time, and I'm talking about this program. I relocated to a relatively small area, Altoona. There's no Gamblers Anonymous out there. When I got there was three NA meetings. Okay, so NA, I've been working through everything that I've been going through with NA. Okay? And there was a time in my life where I couldn't look in the mirror and say, you know what? I didn't shoot no dope today. You know how good it feels to look in the mirror and say, I did not shoot no dope today still? Or anything else? To look in the mirror and say, I haven't stepped outside of my relationship with my wife today? Because there was a time I wasn't capable of that. And for some people, that might not seem like a leap. But that's a leap in my program. To stand here and tell you that I've never cheated on my wife. And that's a direct result of this program and these steps. To look in the mirror, man, I didn't gamble today. Okay, this program has given me some tools that I have not had to step outside of myself today to feel okay. Now I have people here that love and support me. That are like family to me, like blood to me. And there's a bunch of people from my support group that, you know what, it's 10:45 at night, it's late, they've been up all day, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here, man, and they took the time to come in here and, you know, listen to me. And I hope that I've left God in. You know, and I love you guys, man, and, you know, and that's why I'm not the guy that walked in here 7 years ago. I'm not capable of transforming into the person that I am now. And I am nowhere near perfect. My support group, there's some people in my support group that are here that say that I'm the poster child for addiction. So you know what? There's been a lot of work on this guy. A lot of work. A lot of patience that people have had with me. You know, I have problems asking for help. A lot of problems. You know what? Once I surrendered, and which is one of the spiritual principles of the first step, I was ready in step two to let something greater than me help me. You know why? Two addicts is greater than me. I don't know, man. My life is good today. My life is really good today. And you know what? I don't have a whole lot of money. In fact, I don't got no money. My truck's on life support. You know what? Like, externally, things are not that good right now. I'm switching jobs. Okay, I got like major life events going. Through this program and the grace of God, me and my wife are getting ready to buy a house. And like everything that you could imagine that could possibly go wrong, you know, maybe not everything, but some things have went wrong. And by nature, I'm pessimistic. And I'm still in awe that these people are willing to give me any type of money. Something in the back of my head is saying, don't they know who you are? So you know what? Out here, everything ain't that great. A hell of a lot better than it used to be, and I'm grateful that's where it's at instead of where it should be. But you know what? In here, I'm all right today. I'm really okay today. I have a firm belief that as long as I don't pick nothing up, I'm talking about the addiction piece in the first step. As long as I don't pick nothing up, there's a lot of pretty women here, and my wife is 200 miles away. As long as I don't pick nothing up, I'm going back home. My family loves, I'm Italian, man. My family loves to gamble on anything. Okay? As long as I don't pick nothing up. Okay? I can go back home and I can cop two streets down the street. I don't got to know nobody. I don't got to make a phone call. I can go and cop. Okay? As long as I don't pick nothing up, everything's going to be okay. And I'm going to be okay. You know, 90% of my problem is reaching out outside of myself. Having just a little bit of willingness. In the sixth step, it says that I became entirely ready. It don't say my defects are gone. I have some willingness today not to act out on these defects of character. And you know what I found out? That a game of poker, that a shot of dope, that a beer, got a shot of pussy, excuse me for my language, that none of that stuff is going to make me feel any better. Well, of course it will right away. You know what I mean? Right away, that's going to make me feel good. But, you know, what I experienced, what my life has been, is instant gratification. What comes real quick after that is long-term suffering. You know, I've been blessed to be in a healthy relationship today. You know what? How much it would kill me to have to look in this woman's face and hurt another person? I have hurt every single person in my life that has allowed me to get close to them. Using, before using, clean, a couple days ago. Except for one person, and that's that little boy right there. Talking about an inside job, a guy who lived one bag to the next. That was my whole life. I didn't pay insurance. I didn't go to work. I didn't drive a car. I didn't do nothing. From the time I cracked my eyes in the morning, it was the first one. And when I went to sleep at night, I was thinking of the next one. That was it. That was my entire life. Talking about being a productive father today. You know, I'm not a deadbeat dad. And I'm not saying that out of arrogance or that I'm this great guy. I'm telling you what Narcotics Anonymous and God has done for me. You know, he wakes up in the morning and he says, "Daddy, Daddy," and he's yelling. And I go in there and I pick him up and we mess around and we watch football together. And you know what I mean? And It's unbelievable. These were things that was beyond my wildest dreams. This was not my plan coming into this program. You know what? And the only promise of the program is freedom from active addiction, right? But stick around here. Because if you think your life is getting good right now, and you think it feels good not to get high, I'm telling you, man, that you ain't seen nothing yet. I can't even believe the power that this program and God has had in my life. You know, when I got here, I was unemployable. I could not hold a job. It was impossible. You know, I got a college degree. And again, I'm not saying that out of arrogance or ego or nothing like that. I'm telling you that it's a direct result of working some steps, going to some meetings, letting God step in, and knowing for a fact that, guess what? Tomorrow, everything that I've been blessed with, because I didn't earn shit. This is a blessing. Everything that I've been blessed with can be gone with one bad decision. One bad decision. That's how quick it takes off for me. And he won't mean nothing. Because in the first step, when it talks about powerlessness, all bets are off, man. I don't care about nothing but the next one. My relationship with my wife, she becomes ways and means to get more. That is it. My mother, my grandmother, everyone that means anything to me, Eric, Ryan, Jeff, Michelle, nothing but ways and means. I'm not capable of being nobody's friend. I'm not showing up at work. I will destroy myself. And you know what? I hope I never forget that. You know, the book says that we never got to use again. But it also says one day at a time. Just today, man. Just today, I don't got to do none of that stuff. And I got an insurance policy. Because the literature says that any addict could stop using drugs, lose the desire to use drugs, and find a new way of life. I'm telling you, my life is new. My mother calls me on the phone and she says, "When are you coming home?" You know, when I remember when I first got up here, I was in this halfway house and, you know, I didn't roll in there with suitcases and phone cards, man. I had two bags of clothes. My family was not driving 200 miles to see me. They weren't accepting collect calls. And I come from a family of enablers. And I was telling, me and Jeff were joking earlier this morning. No matter what I did, he didn't do that. There's no way he did that. I could be caught red-handed doing something, but I didn't do it in my family's eyes. And at the end of the road, they didn't want to hear nothing. They did not want to hear nothing. You know, being a father now, I think about what I did to my mother. You know, and she used to tell me that she would wait up at night and she'd hear the ambulance coming and she would think that I was in the back of it. Because I'm one of them guys that falls out all the time. You know, the phone would ring late at night and she would think that it was someone calling to tell her that I was dead. I remember one morning I was sitting there, right, and you know, I couldn't hide. There was no way to hide that I was a heroin addict. I didn't shoot in my feet and back of my legs and all that type of shit. All that mattered was the next one. My mother was well aware that I was a heroin addict. And she was sitting there, and I'm asking for money, and I need money, and I'm going to detox tomorrow. I'm sure everyone here knows the drill. Mom, give me the money. I'm going to detox tomorrow. And she told me that if she could take what I was feeling away from me, and she could feel it herself, that she would do that. As tears are coming down her face. And you want to know what I said? "When are you coming home? I miss you and I love you." Tell you what, when I learned my whole life, I thought my father didn't love me. I thought I wasn't good enough for anybody. When I learned how to allow God in and start to love myself, I was able to allow other people to love me. You know, I believe that there are people sitting here right now that love me with all their heart. I believe that. I know it. and that I love them. See, once I worked on me, you got a whole lot better. Tell you what, man, this journey is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And it's what I always wanted. You know what it says in the 11th step is that, you know, God's true will for me was my own true will for myself anyway. I always wanted this. And I tell you what, being in the presence of the God that I understand, He's always been there for me. Always, always going to be there for me. And you know, He never told me no one time. Ever. Anytime I ever pray or I ask for something, He tells me yes, not yet, or hold on because I got something better for you. And every time that something better was exactly what I needed. This program has done wonders for me in my life. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to come here. I hope I didn't take too much time up, James. For my support group that came here, I love you guys. I don't know. Thanks for letting me share tonight, and thanks for listening. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.